Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Hello, welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 17 January 2024. Welcome to tonight's program. Excuse me. As you can tell already, I'm not feeling the best. And tomorrow we will not be in the office. I'm not going to bring Crystal over here around me in the office tomorrow, so... Tomorrow, the phones will be answered by Lisa, as usual, so I'll be out of the office tomorrow all day to try to fight this, whatever it is I have right now. But I am feeling some better today than I was yesterday. But nonetheless, welcome to tonight's program. I'm glad you're with us. We're in line for a really good broadcast tonight. We're going to discuss a topic that's always fascinated me. We're going to talk about secret societies, kind of who's behind them, what they're here for, okay? Before we do that, though, don't forget, I'm offering a couple books here, folks, that I think you're going to want to get a copy of. The one is Nobody Wants You Healthy by Dr. Mark Richards. It's a fantastic book. If you want to know the truth behind the medical field and the pharmaceutical companies, if you want to know the truth and why they're not making you better than they don't want to, this book is a must. $24.95. It's a book that you must get a copy of to share with your friends and family, too. Why Nobody Wants You Healthy by Dr. Mark Richards. And also a book, The Old Jerusalem Is Not the New Jerusalem. If you want to understand more about who we are, where we come from, this whole booklet is available, folks, for $8 delivered to your door. That includes postage. $8. It's all cost. It's a very important little book if you understand who we are, where we come from, and how we lost our heritage. The Old Jerusalem is not the New Jerusalem. It's available. You can call and get it whenever you want to. And you can call Lisa tomorrow. If you want to order water fuels tomorrow, you can call and get Lisa information. They won't be ordered for next week, obviously, because Crystal won't be here tomorrow. But you always place all orders you want to. We'd appreciate it. As you know, we're kind of down a little down in funds, but I hope you'll help us get through this slump. I truly do. We're doing our best to hang in, folks, and do what we can to keep this thing going. Even when we don't feel well, we try to make it work, okay? Again, tomorrow the office will not be open, because I don't feel well, and I don't want Crystal around me to catch what I've got here. Our guest tonight is Micah Van Hoos, or Van Huss. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but this man has quite a list of accomplishments. He is a host and producer of Marginal Mysteries for the Southwest Radio Ministries. Just released The Earth As It Was, served 4 tours of duty in U.S. Marine Corps, Scout Sniper, served as Department of Defense contractor in both Iraq and Afghanistan, deployed 4 times in Iraq and Afghanistan as a Marine and DOD contractor. After returning home from the war, he served 4 terms in the Tennessee House of Representatives. During his 8-year tenure, he served as a chairman of the Constitutional Protection Committee and sponsored and passed the Tennessee Heartbeat Bill. So this man has got some background. of what he's accomplished and what he's done. But he's putting together a book. And I think you'll find this book most fascinating. If you enjoy reading what's behind the scenes that very few of us are privileged to get into, because most of us just can't understand that they actually exist. Secret societies. And Micah, are you there?
I am there, Pastor. I appreciate you having me tonight.
Oh, it's good to have you, my friend. I really mean that. Excuse my voice. If I happen to cough in your ear, please overlook me. I don't mean to. But
no problem.
Well, you know, this is, I'm a wuss. I hardly ever get sick. I'm very seldom ever sick. When I get sick, I am a wuss, and I know it. I'm a wimp. I'm not used to being sick. Yeah, I really am not. But anyway,
yes, sir.
Tell folks a little bit about yourself. I give a little bit of a bio, but tell them a little more about yourself, where you come from, and how you got involved in all this.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And you covered the bio. I won't go over all of it. But currently, I'm producing Marginal Mysteries for Southwest Radio Ministries up here in Northeast Tennessee. Southwest Radio Ministries has been going for 90 years now. This is our 90th year. And Southwest Radio Ministries, radio is in the name. That's because we started as a radio ministry. But now we've branched out into all kinds of things, starting up video podcasts and such. But this is my third book. Secret Society is what we'll be talking about most of tonight. It is my third book that I've written for Southwest Radio Ministries. And I'm loving every minute of this job. I've done a number of things, as you said, from the Marine Corps to the legislature. But I've enjoyed this job. Working for the Lord and writing about these topics more than any of them. So I'm looking forward to tonight's discussion.
Well, how did you happen to get started in this direction? What got you interested?
About 20 years ago, my brother pointed out to me Genesis chapter 6, and we're talking about verses 8 and 9. Genesis chapter 6, I think pretty much all of us were taught as kids in Sunday school that God sent the flood to destroy the earth because of the wickedness of the earth, and God chose Noah because he was righteous. Well, actually, if you read Genesis chapter 6, and you know any version, we're talking about the King James here, it says that God chose Noah because he was perfect in his generations. It says Noah was righteous, but it said God chose him because he was perfect
That's
in his generations.
That's true.
And what does that mean? Well, you back up 8 verses earlier to Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. It talks about the sons of God, the angels, coming down to the earth, taking human women as their wives, and then we're getting to Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and had children with them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So basically, angels came down, took women, and they had superhuman offspring, which were the Nephilim. And then we get four verses after that one. It says Noah was perfect in his generations. Well, that right there says that Noah was not tainted with the fallen angel bloodline, in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and 4. So when my brother showed me that and I read it, that set me off on a path, and I've not stopped studying it since then. It's been over 20 years now.
Well, you certainly, I'm sure, have uncovered a lot of things. And, you know, the more I'm not privileged to study this much you have been. I have different things I cover. But it's always interesting to me. And people don't want to believe that there were actually giants on this earth. And they didn't come to an end with the flood. They were still giants in the early days, and the Egyptians were actually in our land. I mean, all these things are facts, but people today don't seem to want to understand it, or no one tells them. I don't know which, but it's almost a hidden fact, isn't it?
It is hidden. Interesting word choice, because in the Secret Society's book, I do have a section on the Smithsonian and their cover up of the giants in the 19th century, getting into the 20th century. The Smithsonian has collected these giant bones even up until this last decade, is my last report of it. Let's see, we're talking about Lovelock Cave and the giant skeletons that were found in Nevada in Lovelock Cave, and 4 giant skulls were on display in the local museum in Lovelock, Nevada. But then in 2010, those skulls disappeared. So we're talking about a cover-up of the giants. You had mentioned, that the giants came back after the flood. That is true. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4 says that. There were giants on the earth in those days. We're talking about before the flood and also after that. And I've come to a realization while writing this book about the number one question I get asked as the producer of Marginal Mysteries. Now, my website is marginalmysteries.com. marginalmysteries.com. So as with what I do, I speak at conferences, I get questions through the website. The number one question I get asked is, how did the giants come back after the flood? And for the longest time, I had theories, but I didn't have a good answer. Well, through writing this book, and we're talking about the Secret Society's goals and Nimrod, the first empire builder after the flood, I've come to come up with what I think is the proper theory on how giants came back after the flood. And that is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7, 8, and 9. In verse 7, it says, listen to your elders. They remind you of what happened in the days of old. Verse 8, God divides the world according to the number of the children of Israel, that's 70. So basically, Deuteronomy 32, 8 says God divides the world into 70 different nations. And then in verse 9, God chooses Jacob. That's the lot of his inheritance. This is the point in Scripture where God chooses Israel, his people. Well, what about the other between 70 and 72 nations? Well, according to the Greek Septuagint, he gives those nations according to the Agalos Theos, which are the angels of God. And according to the Dead Sea Scrolls, he gives those nations to the Bnei HaElohim, which are the same, is the same term used in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. So basically, the angels. And so what happens when God, so at the Tower of Babel, he divides the world into 70 nations, and we have 70 different languages instantaneously, but we have 70 different nations. God gives those 70 nations after the Tower of Babel to angels to rule over. And yes, I do believe that these are physical angels, at least for the first few hundred years that probably died off in their physical forms. But these physical angels that take the 70 nations, they take human women as wives, and then they have giant offspring again, just like in Genesis chapter 6. So that is my theory on how the giants came back after the flood, and that's the number one question I get asked. Fascinating to study.
Well, you know, I haven't looked into this as deep as you have, but I have looked into it some. I know that even the Native Americans back in 1800s and before spoke about giants that lived around them, and they have found them actually buried in the mountains, different places. So these were relatively a modern experience, weren't they?
Yes, sir. So we've got all kinds of stories. I mentioned the giants in Lovelock Cave. Sarah Winnemucca is the great-great-granddaughter of Chief Winnemucca who fought these giants. They called them Sitka. These giants have red hair. We see with the giants throughout scripture and history that they have red hair, six fingers on each hand, six toes on each foot. Some reports of double rows of teeth from the giant that supposedly killed in Afghanistan only 15 years ago. All kinds of reports of these. So the Paiute tribe fought against the Sitka 150 to 200 years ago. And Sarah Winnemucca, she died about 70 years ago, I think. So she's more recent, but she shares the story, and she actually wears a dress. There's a picture of her in a dress that has the red hair of the red-headed giants sewn into the fabric of the dress. So the story goes that the Sitka were cannibalizing the Paiute tribe members in Nevada. And so the different tribes went to war against the giants, and they eventually killed them off, but there were a few giants left, and they cornered them in a cave, and they piled brush at the mouth of the cave, lit it on fire. A lot of the giants died in fire and smoke inhalation in the cave, but a few came running out, and they killed those. That's the story of Sarah Winnemucca. Well, in 1910, guano miners, people looking for bat guano to make gunpowder out of, went into Lovelock Cave, and they found over 80 skeletons, and over 14 of those skeletons were actually 8-foot-tall, red-headed giants. And today, you can go visit Lovelock Cave, and you can see the burn marks, the scorch marks around the mouth of the cave that matches up with the story that Sarah Winnemucca tells. So, yes, you can find dozens of pictures of petroglyphs and rock drawings with six-digited hands and feet. One of the Native American tribes down in New Mexico worshipped anybody who had six fingers on each hand or six toes on each foot. So where does this come in? Well, the Bible says, I believe 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel says that the giants had six fingers. The Old World Roots of the Cherokee is a book written about Cherokee history from their tradition. And the Cherokee said that you may not be a giant, but if you had giant's blood in your veins, that you still carried on. Some people had six fingers just from giant's blood being in their veins, and that proved that you were a violent person, a person given to hurting people or being aggressive. So that is why, according to that book, why the Native Americans showed each other their hands as a greeting was to see how many fingers you had on your hands.
Wow. And why do you think that the Smithsonian and others are trying to keep this a secret?
Well, you have mentioned it earlier about it's becoming hidden. Because finding giant skeletons and giant skulls and giant remains confirms the Bible. And about 150 years ago, there was a movement about the same time we get evolution, same time we get the Smithsonian in 1880. We get a movement to try to hide the giants, and I think it was so that people would not believe in Scripture. Because where else do you find the giants all through mythology? And, you know, finding these skeletons actually disproves evolution. Evolution says that we are getting bigger, badder, stronger, better. But if we have giants in the past and now we're smaller and not as powerful as they are, you know, that in itself disproves evolution. So it's a movement to get people to move away from God. And I did mention about the giants and we're now smaller. A lot of people say that gigantism is what the Bible is talking about. But if you look at the modern people with gigantism, Robert Wadlow and Ongdor Gongor in Mongolia, you got a lot of really tall people. We're not talking about your favorite NBA basketball players. These people with modern-day gigantism, the vast majority of them have a problem with the pituitary gland or cancer in their brain, which causes them to grow this way. And these people die at very young ages, in their 20s and early 30s. Well, the giants in the Bible were mighty men. Goliath was not frail. These people were not weaklings. So we're talking about two different things when we talk about modern gigantism and giants who are actually warriors in older times.
Well, now, are people still finding giants around the world? Is that possible?
So a lot of these pictures, they get covered up. But we do have videos of giant skulls. One of my favorite projects is Trey Smith on YouTube. If you want to look up God in a Nutshell Project, that's Trey Smith. He's got great videos on the Nephilim of giant skulls that have been filmed, you know, within the last couple of years. So we're talking about elongated skulls. So we'll get into that real quick. These elongated skulls, a lot of people will say that it's head binding because there's tribes in Africa and people in South America who would bind the baby's heads with boards so that the baby's heads would grow elongated. And that is a practice. So there are skulls with elongated skulls from that. But a lot of these skulls, and you can actually see it on video, they are not human DNA, because the human DNA has a seam in the very top of their head. There's basically two bone plates on top of the human head. And a lot of these skulls only have one plate, so they are genetically not human skulls, some of them. So, yeah, there's plenty of video evidence of these skulls. They find them all over the world. The rich spots seem to be Peru, South America, down when we get towards the Aztec, Inca, Indian tribes, those areas. You find a lot of these elongated skulls. You know, did the giants inhabit South America? Well, I think, and of course, this all ties into who built the pyramids. And when you look at pyramid-building nations, well, first of all, they're in a pattern circumferencing the globe. But you have a lot of the pyramid-building nations in South America, not just Egypt. So let's back up a little bit more on the theory and talk about the city of Atlantis. I don't think it's the lost city of Atlantis. I think it's the destroyed city of Atlantis, the Reshot structure in northwest Africa. If you look up Reshot structure or the Eye of the Sahara, I think that is the lost city of Atlantis. So let's bring it all together. Atlantis, the very first thing that Plato writes in the story of Atlantis is there was a time when the gods divided the world among themselves. That is synonymous with Deuteronomy chapter 32, where God divides the nations. We also get that division in Greek mythology with the Titanomachy, when the Olympians battle the giants. After the Olympians win, they divide the world among themselves, which are the Greek gods. And to back this up, we go to Scripture. Look at Psalm chapter 82. This is the most mysterious, in my opinion, most mysterious chapter in the entire Bible, Psalm chapter 82. The whole thing is 7 or 8 verses. So it's not long to read. It says, Elohim met with the Elohim. So basically, God is meeting with the lesser gods. And he is judging them and saying, you better start treating humanity better, or I'm going to cast you to the earth like one of the princes. And it literally says, I have said ye are gods, I think, verse 7.
Right.
And so
right.
that whole chapter in Psalm chapter 82 also is what the beginning of the story of Atlantis is talking about. The gods divide the world among themselves, and then in Atlantis they put a pillar of laws in the middle where the gods come every few years to judge each other on their treatment of humanity. So that is kind of a parallel in the story of Atlantis and Scripture. So what we see from all these ancient mythologies, and that is my fifth book. So my third book is Secret Societies, which will be out in 2 months. My next book is Angels Eternal, where I talk about the princes of the nations, Deuteronomy chapter 32, where God puts the angels over nations, and then Daniel chapter 10, where the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, and Michael, the prince of Israel, we talk about the angelic realm. But then my fifth book, which I've already started taking notes on, is Mythologies Decoded, where we show all of these ancient mythologies and how they relate to Scripture. Now, Scripture is the version that gets it right. All these things are kind of synonymous with the flood stories from around the world. So, but Scripture is our foundation. We don't look at Scripture through the lenses of the world. We look at the world through the lenses of Scripture.
Amen.
And so
yes.
Looking forward to getting into that book.
Well, now, is the Nephilim DNA still prevalent in some peoples?
I think it is. So there is a theory. I don't prescribe to it, but I think the theory has some things about it that are plausible, and I keep my mind open to thinking about it. And that theory is that all the Neanderthal skeletons and Neanderthal remains are the giants that we read about in the Bible. I don't agree with that, but I think there's some interesting things with it. First of all, we've never found a giant Neanderthal skeleton, and I believe from Scripture that Scripture is quite clear that the giants were, in fact, giants. But if these Neanderthal skeletons we found are not adult giants, well, it could still be a plausible theory. They're just not fully grown giants. But anyway, some reports say that 10% of people on the planet today have Neanderthal DNA in their bodies. Some reports say that 100% of the people on this planet today have Neanderthal DNA in their bodies. As DNA technology gets better and better, we're finding more and more percentages of people who have Neanderthal DNA. And when you test everybody who has Neanderthal DNA, you can trace every single person's genealogy back to three women. Well, what would that be? That would be the daughter-in-laws of Noah. Did they have giant's blood in their veins? So, let's see. I write about it in my last book, The Earth As It Was, when we get into the giants, and we talk about the God gene. I didn't give it that name, but a few years ago, a scientist discovered the God gene. It was a gene that everybody who was more spiritual, more religious, had this gene, whereas the opposite gene was Neanderthal DNA. Anybody who had Neanderthal DNA was more susceptible to being addicted to nicotine. They were more violent, and people who had the God gene were a little bit opposite. So that's a theory I talk about in the book. I'm not 100% convinced, but it is an interesting study of the God gene if anybody wants to look it up, or go to my website, marginalmysteries.com, and get a copy of The Earth As It Was, and you can read about it. I did send you a copy of the book last week, Pastor, of Earth As It Was. Did it happen to get to you yet?
No, it hasn't got here yet, but I'm sure it will.
All right. Well, that's media mail for you.
Oh, yeah, of course. And also, and I know this is, folks, and we'll take questions next half hour. This topic fascinates me because I know these people were real. They actually existed, and there's evidence of currently existing at least 100 years ago on this planet. So a lot of the things we consider myth in the past, or it would be Greek myth or other things, were actually true, were they not? There were giants. There were mighty men of renown. Now, and I mean, we talk about Hercules and other things. These people may have existed, maybe not.
Absolutely. And Hercules himself was likely, possibly Samson in the Bible. There's an Egyptian version of Hercules, and he dies in an arena surrounded by people. The same thing happens to Samson in the Bible. He dies in an arena. So yes, all these mythologies, there's something very similar. When we go back to the vast majority of these mythologies, and we break that down a lot in my last book, The Earth As It Was, we talk about the creation stories from all the different cultures and how they are very similar to what we have going on. We have flood stories from around the world. Let's start this off by saying that, you know, I have heard Christians who say, you know, I believe in Jesus, and what Jesus did, but I don't necessarily believe in 6 days of creation, or I don't necessarily believe in the flood. Well, first, I recommend that those people know the words of Jesus himself, who says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, and the floodwaters took them basically by surprise. So Jesus himself talks about the flood. So be very careful, Christians, if you don't want to believe the Bible but still call yourself a Christian, know what Christ said. So we have flood stories from all around the world. 270 of those flood stories say that the reason that God sent the flood was because the many lesser gods that God had become angry with them. And that's what we see in Genesis chapter 6, that the Nephilim and their parents, the watchers, and the Nephilim were their offspring, had corrupted Elohim's creation. So Genesis chapter 6 doesn't specifically say that. So I move over to the apocryphal Book of Enoch. I do not believe that the Book of Enoch is the inspired word of God, but the Book of Enoch does tell us what Genesis chapter 6 does not. It says that the watchers descended on Mount Hermon. They named the mountain Mount Hermon because that was the name of the curse they put on themselves. They knew God was going to destine them to a mortal death for becoming, rebelling against him and coming to the earth, but they did it anyway. And then they have offspring, which are the Nephilim, the giants in the Bible, and they taught, the watchers and their offspring taught mankind weapons, armor, makeup, warring. They taught them astrology, astronomy, writing. They taught them abortion in chapter 82 of the Book of Enoch. They teach them all kinds of knowledge. Well, we do see that in the Bible, Revelation chapter 17, verse 21, or 21:17. It's one of those two. There's a man measuring heaven with a ruler, and it says he uses the cubit, that is the measurement of a man, that is of an angel. So Revelation chapter 17 or 21 tells us that the angels taught the cubit to mankind. The cubit is the ancient unit of measurement from the tip of the middle finger to the elbow. There's two different cubits. That's the Egyptian cubit, the royal cubit. There's a few different ones, but that's generally because people's arms are different lengths. So we see all these things from mythology that talk about what's going on in the Bible, and it's fascinating. Now let's get back to the Book of Enoch, the apocryphal Book of Enoch, what it says is happening. Let's tie that in, because Scripture does continue to talk about these things, and people don't know about it. First of all, what happens in the Book of Enoch? God sends his four archangels, Michael, Uriel, Gabriel, and Raphael. He sends Uriel to warn Noah of the flood and tell him what to do. He sends Michael and Raphael to bind Azazel and Shemyaz, the leader of the watchers, into the pit in the desert for 70 generations until the great day of judgment. He puts them under rocks, and so when the floodwaters came, they don't die, but they are under the rocks in their spiritual form, I guess. But then he sends Gabriel to cause the giants, the Nephilim, to go to war against each other. And he does that, and the giants mostly kill each other off before the flood. We got a commercial coming up.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nemana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
All righty, folks, we are back to talk to Micah von Huss in his book. I think it's a fascinating topic. I really do. And to me, it just increases my faith in God and the power and the might and the awesome creation that he has given the whole earth. And to know these things actually happen. To know that these were actual beings that walked the earth, just like the scriptures say they were. So a lot of Christians maybe get frightened with this kind of stuff. It, to me, it encourages me. But my God is still in charge. He still controls all these things. And he's in charge of my life. And if I didn't know that, and if I didn't have faith in that, I'd be afraid to leave the house, folks, because these powers, these demonic powers, are real. These demonic angels still rule over the earth in a lot of different areas. And so do God's angels. There are powers and principalities that we don't even know about. They're in our personal lives and in our families' lives and in our national lives and around the world. They're there, and they're making war against God Almighty and his people. Now, Micah, you go ahead and share some more.
Yes, sir. And starting where you talked about the powers of the air, the principalities of power of the air, this is why we put on the armor of God, because we war against them. These are the 70 fallen angels that I'm talking about that are in charge of the nations. In physical form at the beginning, and now they're spiritual. These angels, they don't follow physical boundaries, but they follow bloodlines. So basically, the Philistine god of Dagon is still around today, and Dagon is in Gaza. Dagon is the god of Gaza. He's the spiritual prince of the air there. The book of Revelation talks about the four angels that are in chains under the Euphrates River and will be let loose during Revelation to wreak havoc on the earth. These are likely the gods of Syria, the peoples of Syria, the peoples of Jordan, Iraq. Anyway, so that a fascinating topic, and that'll be what I talk about mostly in my next book, Angels, After Secret Societies comes out in 2 months. The next book will be Angels Eternal, where I talk about that. But before we went to the break, I was tying to Scripture the things that the Book of Enoch were talking about. So real quick, the Book of Enoch said that Raphael, Michael, bound Azazel and Shemyaza and cast them into prison and cast these watchers, these fallen angels, into prison before the flood for the great day of judgment. Well, keep that in mind because we read about the prison all through Scripture. First of all, the Book of Isaiah in the Old Testament prophesies and says that the Messiah will visit the spirits in the prison. Well, let's read about that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18, 19, and 20. Again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18, 19, and 20 basically say Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus is in his spiritual form instead of his physical form. His physical form is in the grave, and his spiritual form is on the earth. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 says, the first thing that Jesus does when he's in his spirit form is he goes down into the prison and ministers to the spirits that made trouble in the days of Noah. So this backs up exactly what the Book of Enoch is talking about. Now, when it says Jesus proclaims, ministers to them, a better translation, Jesus proclaims his victory to these fallen angels in prison. We read about that. The Book of Jude talks about this. Almost all of your New Testament authors were scholars of the Book of Enoch. Now, again, the Book of Enoch is not the inspired word of God. I have studied a lot of it and a lot of books around it, and I think it's probably correct history, but I'm not going to call it inspired. But on that note, keep one very important thing in mind. Now, I believe the Bible, from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, is the inspired word of God. Keep one very important thing in mind. In Mark chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 22, Jesus calls a book Scripture that does not appear in the Old Testament. This is where the Pharisees are trying to tempt Jesus, and they say, if a man marries a woman and he dies, and his brother marries her and he dies, and his brother marries her and he dies, whose wife is she in heaven? And Jesus says, know you not the Scriptures, for they are as the angels of the Lord in heaven, they are neither married nor given in marriage. But the Old Testament never says that. The Book of Enoch does, and there might be other books that do, but basically Jesus is calling some book Scripture that does not appear in the Old Testament. So keep that in mind as we study these important things. I mentioned earlier about the cubit being the measurement of an angel. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 17. So let's get into a really awesome topic that Pastor Butch and I had mentioned earlier we want to get into, and that is the mixing of DNA, the chimeras, the half-human, half-animal, the mixture of animal DNA that was likely going on before the flood. We call a mixture of the DNA, a result of that, we call that a chimera. That is something that we are doing in the world today. You can go online and find plenty of articles from anywhere, Fox News, Yahoo. You can find articles of the Chinese mixing with human and monkey DNA and other animals and human DNA to make chimeras, which is something the United States is probably doing behind the scenes, but it's officially not legal. In 2021, only three years ago now, the United States Senate passed the Endless Frontiers Act, which would have allowed the United States to partake in bioengineering of human-animal hybrid species. The United States House did not pass it, so it never became law, but this is where we are in the world today. So when we're talking about the mixing of the DNA of animals and humans, we go back to before the flood, when God... This is one of the most powerful statements in the entire Bible, Genesis chapter 6. It repented God that he had made mankind and the animals. That is a very powerful statement, that God had repented that he made his creation. And it says the whole earth had become corrupt. Well, the Book of Enoch says that the giants had sinned against the animals. I believe that the watchers and their offspring, the Nephilim, were mixing the DNA of animals and the DNA of animals and humans. What do you see when you look at the ancient Egyptian gods? You see humans with animal heads on them. What do you see in the ancient Greek and Roman gods? You see superhuman, super powerful humans with superpowers. So another side point on the chimeras that I believe were taking place before the flood, God tells Noah to bring clean and unclean animals on the ark. Well, all my life, and I think most people assume, okay, you know, a clean animal, the cloven hoof, you know, what's kosher and what's not. Levitical, that's called Levitical law. Levitical law wasn't until 2,000 years after Noah. So when God told Noah to stay clean and unclean, was he talking about animals that have been mutated by the Nephilim and animals that were at creation? I don't know, but it's a fascinating thing to ponder about and think about. Let's get into sharks and Tyrannosaurus rexes that are carnivores. First of all, Genesis chapter 1 says that on day 6, he made beast and man, and that they ate the green herb. So literally, Genesis chapter 1 says that all beasts ate, says that beast ate the green herb. Well, how do sharks and T-Rexes fit into that? There's three possibilities. At the fall of mankind, when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, plants started growing thorns. So it's at that time that fish could have developed sharp teeth, just like the thorns developed. Or it could have been at the covenant with mankind when Noah stepped off the ark and God now allowed mankind to eat meat. That could have been when the corrupt animals happened. But another theory is that the giants were mixing the DNA and created carnivores such as Tyrannosaurus rexes, sharks. I've heard a lot of people theorize that the Nephilim created the dinosaurs. It's possible. Fascinating to think about and fascinating to talk about. One more thing to kind of back up the stories that's in the Book of Enoch is the Book of Enoch says that when mankind could no longer satiate the giants, that the giants began to eat mankind and drink their blood. We find that in Scripture. When the two spies, spy out the land and they find the great, there were grasshoppers in their eyes, it also says we found a land where the inhabitants eat, the giants eat the inhabitants of the land. So we're actually seeing in Scripture what the Book of Enoch is talking about the giants eating the people of the land. Fascinating stuff to talk about.
Wow. Yeah, this is very, I mean, I love exploring these type of topics because it makes me realize just how mighty our God is and creation before we don't even begin to understand the creation of God in all its facets. We just don't understand it. Let's take a phone call.
Can I talk a little bit about?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Real quick before I take a phone call, I'm going to say why this is important. You know, a lot of people will say, and I've got friends who say this kind of stuff isn't important, and that's fine. I don't hold that against anybody. If people don't want to study this stuff, I understand. I don't want to study demonology. I haven't yet. God hasn't called me to do that yet, and I hope he doesn't, but I don't want to study demonology. So I can understand if people don't want to look at certain things. But it is important to know that Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. He also says that the second coming comes as a thief in the night. So, that's up to you if you think that we should know what it was like in the days of Noah to heed God's warning. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's very true. The more you understand creation, the more you understand who God really is, and the more you understand how awesome his power is to control all the things that have come up on this earth and through the eons of time. He was around a long time before the earth was, obviously. So these are things that are very fascinating to me. Let's speak to Tom in Georgia. Tom, come on in. Welcome.
Pastor, hope you get to feeling better.
Thank you.
Micah, let me ask you, I need a clarification. The minders or the keepers that came down and mated with the ladies, were they already fallen? Or did they fall when they did that act?
Good question.
So now, go ahead, Pastor.
That's a good question. Go ahead.
Okay. So the Scripture does not tell us, but the Book of Enoch does. So when I answer this, it's not inspired Scripture. This is apocryphal. But I think it's probably correct. They knew that God was going to damn them to death. And so Shemyaza didn't want to do it by himself. So he got 200 of them together to rebel against Elohim, and they cursed themselves and said, we are going to do this, and they named the curse Hermon, and they descended on Mount Hermon. That's why it's called Mount Hermon. So that's what the Book of Enoch tells us, is they knew it was going to happen. A quick theory that I've heard. Go ahead.
And this was after the fall.
After the fall of mankind, yes, sir, before the flood. This is in the days of Jared. According to the Book of Enoch, it says Jared is the fifth generation from Noah. Jared is Enoch's father. So this is the fifth generation from the fall of mankind that this happened.
Well, this is hard for me to understand because, Coach Harbaugh at Michigan this year was charged with, you know, having a staff member go to other games and try to steal signs. And he claims he didn't know anything about it. What we're saying here is that God's not in control of his team. I mean, if they're subject to the fall of the day, I mean, this is hard for me to accept, because he conquered all that when he kicked Satan and his army out, I thought.
Yes, sir. And there is debate on whether or not Satan and his army have been kicked out yet. We're talking about Revelation chapter 12, a third of the stars. A lot of people will say this is in the future. A lot of people will say this is in the past. And I honestly am not sure. But we do know that Satan rebelled against God. That is hard to swallow. And so if Satan can rebel against God, you know, it's not a far stretch for me to think that other angels have rebelled against God. But it's a valid point.
And Tom, I'll add this, and we'll let you go. But you stop and think about this. God knew before he created Adam and Eve that they were going to sin. He knew that. Does that mean that he wasn't able to control that after he created them? He knew it was going to happen. He knows all these things. Does that mean he wasn't able to control them? Or was it done because he gave them free will and let them live their lives and do this?
I
believe in free will, but I also believe in predetermination. So, I know he's nothing's new on him, and all time is the same to him, past, present, and future. But
yes.
It's just, I thought the fall was an event that was done in terms of the angels anyway.
You know, we know that the final rebellion hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. You know that, right? The final rebellion has not happened
yet. That's true.
So... But good call, Tom. I think you're a thinker. Good for you.
This is kind of a theme.
I didn't mean to throw a wrench in the world.
No, that's fine.
Thanks for your time.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Tom's a thinker.
And this is a theme throughout Scripture, and Tom asks a very good question about it's hard to swallow that God would allow this to happen. And you mentioned it, Pastor, that free will. So God could have created Adam and Eve perfect automatons that did exactly what he said, but he gave. So why did God put a tree in the Garden of Eden which Adam and Eve could sin? If God didn't put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden or the tree of life, Adam and Eve would have never sinned, theoretically. We don't know that. So why did he do it? Well, the answer, in my opinion, is free will. God wanted beings to worship him that had free will. And so we see this theme of mankind falling at the fall, the angels falling at the descension of the watchers, mankind falling at the flood, God resetting the world with the flood, giving mankind another chance, mankind messing it up with Nimrod, and so God destroys the Tower of Babel and gives the earth back to angels again in Deuteronomy 32:8. And so we see this going back and forth. But Tom did mention one other thing, that Jesus has defeated these. Yes, Jesus has saved us from our sins. Jesus has defeated the princes of the power of the air, which he said he would come to do. Jesus did reverse the curse of Babel, 70 languages, the earth divided. When Jesus leaves, his 70 disciples go out into the world, and everyone hears in their own language. Jesus reversed the curse of Babel. But Jesus has defeated sin, but it is still here. The princes of the powers of the air he defeated, but they're still here. But he defeated them for the future date of the judgment and the end times.
Okay. Let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor.
Hello.
You went outside in the cold, didn't you, and got sick?
Well, I have to go out whether I like it or not. Yeah, right. I did.
Yeah, well, I think you need to spend a couple of days inside. You're not used to that cold.
Well, the older I get, the less I like it. But anyway, go ahead, Jan.
Anyway, going back to the flood and how the angels, or the evil, the giants were continued to allowed to go on. In China, at the China-Russia, where Russia and China are right there together, there is a myth, a creation myth, whereas a king put a prince and a princess, brother and sister, into an egg, it says an egg, and set them adrift in the flood. And they survived the flood, and the prince cheated on three tests that the princess gave him, because he wanted to mate with her, and they were brother sister. She said no, and he cheated and won, or solved the riddles, and so they mated, and they had one giant child, which the prince slayed, and that is where the Chinese people came from. And if you go on with that, and you go to the makeup, and you go to the gunpowder, and that kind of stuff, that all came from China. And China had gunpowder for quite a while before we got a hold of it and learned how to do, how to make it. Is that right?
They did. They invented gunpowder. Also, they invented spaghetti, but nobody knows that. Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, answer
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Yeah. Noodles. Yeah.
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 Go ahead.
Came from China, and
yeah.
we're right back to using Chinese products.
That's true.
I think
pretty much around the world. Go ahead, Micah.
And I think that's referred to as U, Y, U is the spelling of the flood, the guy who, the Chinese myth. But we have mythologies mm-hmm. from all over the world of the flood. The Roman god Decalon survived the flood in a chest, a floating chest that landed on top of a mountain. We have all kinds of flood myths of the Cherokee, American Indian Cherokee flood myth of the Great Canoe and Nua, who survived the flood. We have all kinds of these things. And it's absolutely. And as far as the knowledge, when we talk about, getting knowledge that mankind wasn't supposed to have, and we haven't really talked about secret societies. We did that a couple weeks ago on the program. That's the book I'm writing right now. And the whole theory of the secret societies is they're passing the knowledge of the watchers that survived the flood carved into two tablets. Hermes, the Greek god, finds a tablet. Anyway, let's not go into that too much because that's what we talked about a couple weeks ago, but it is in the book. But we talk about the knowledge of the watchers that passed through. Yes, ma'am.
It's the evil copying God, which is what
yes,
they
ma'am.
Do. They use what God did as a template so that everything they do looks as if it could have been God that did it, but it was not.
Okay.
And Satan is the great deceiver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jan, thanks for calling. Hate to rush. We're running out of time here. Go ahead
Thank
and finish
you,
your statement on that if you want to, real quickly, Micah.
I appreciate the question, Jan. I just want to tie it a little bit into the end times, because that's what we get a little bit about in the book, Secret Societies book, that the knowledge of the Watchers has been carried on through these secret societies. And they're trying to usher in a final battle with God. By the way, the secret societies, which are the powers of the air, these fallen angels that are in their spiritual form now that are ruling the nations, they want to usher in a final battle with the quote-unquote oppressive God of the Bible. They will get their battle. It's called the Battle of Armageddon, but they're not going to win it. God will win it. So in Revelation, the Antichrist has the power to breathe life into the image of the beast. That leads me to believe that it is a soulless chimera or a clone that stands in the temple. So, yes, the knowledge of the Watchers has been passed for thousands of years now, and that's the ultimate objective of the secret societies, is for humankind to be enlightened. All these enlightenment religions and philosophies, the New Age movement, mankind is going, they want mankind to become gods. What did the serpent tell Eve
yes.
in the Garden of Eden? If you eat this fruit, you will become like God. It is the knowledge of good and evil. And now that humankind had the knowledge of good and evil, there's more knowledge that the fallen angels taught to them, and they want mankind to think they're going to be gods. And that is what New Age movement teaches. That is what theosophy teaches, that we will one day become gods and join the gods in the cosmos. That is the underlying knowledge of these secret societies. But go on, Pastor Butch.
That's what the Mormons believe, too. But anyway, let's go to Washington State and speak to Carolyn. Carolyn, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Enoch seems to connect too many dots to not be true, and yet Enoch was written, a thousand years after Enoch was taken by God to heaven? How did he do that?
So thank you for the question, Carolyn. We don't know the answer. We don't know when he wrote it. The earliest versions of the Book of Enoch we have are from 300 B.C. They carbon date to that. I don't trust carbon dating. But a lot of the books we have are not. In fact, most of the books we have are not the original copies. Book of Genesis, et cetera, have been copied, and what we have now is not the original. So it's the same with the Book of Enoch. It is not likely not the original. So who knows if it survived the flood on the ark or if it was written after the flood through things passed down through Noah and his generation. We don't know the answer to that, but it's fascinating to think about. And I appreciate the question, Carolyn.
All right, Carolyn. Anything else?
Question is, I did not catch your web address.
MarginalMysteries.com. Marginal as in the margins. MarginalMysteries.net.com.org. All of it will go there. Marginal Mysteries. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn, for the call. Thank you. We're down about the last couple minutes here, Mike, and we didn't even get started on Secret Society. I mean, I want to do that also, but this is being a fascinating program. I'm glad I didn't feel like doing the broadcast tonight, but I'm glad I did. Again, folks, I'm not being off tomorrow. The office will not be open tomorrow, so please forgive me as I try to kick this bug out of my system and pray for Marshall. So she got it first, and she's still trying to hang on to it, and she finally gave it to me. I am feeling some better, but I'm not over yet. But I thank you for your prayers. And don't care, folks, Lisa will be there tomorrow to take your phone calls. And if you can help us stay on the air, we'd appreciate it. And tonight, after tonight's broadcast with Micah, and last night with Angeline and the rest of them, you know why we're trying to stay on the air. These people bring forth information that very few people will touch. And we'll try and get into your hands. So pray for us, please, for a lot of reasons. But also, if you can help us financially, please do so. And Micah, what do you want to say in closing?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Pastor Butch, and I hope that you get better. I will pray that you get better. And I've been snowed in for a couple of days, and I think a lot of people around the country have. But if folks are interested, my first book was Ancient Cities and the Gods Who Built Them. My second book was The Earth as It Was. The third book, which comes out in 2 months, is Secret Societies. And then my fourth book will be Angels Eternal, and then on the Mythologies Decoded. So marginalmysteries.com is the web address. And I'm on Facebook, YouTube. If you go to YouTube on Marginal Mysteries, we do some pretty cool videos about all these topics on YouTube as well. But if you go to marginalmysteries.com, it's got a link to all my socials. And it's just the best job I've had since being overseas in the Marine Corps, and I love studying this stuff. And I appreciate you having me, Pastor Butch.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. We'll have to do it again and get into the secret societies, if you don't mind. I'll get back with you as soon as possible on that.
Yeah, have me on as much as you want.
All right, my friend. God bless you, and thanks a lot for being there with us tonight. Thank you so much. And you keep in touch, okay?
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Folks, I mean, what can I say? This broadcast was absolutely phenomenal. I knew it would be. That's why I wanted to do it tonight. I didn't feel like doing the broadcast, but I want to do the broadcast because it's needed. This information is so powerful, so important. It truly is. And if you can help us keep this thing rolling, we'd appreciate that. You do what you can do, what the Lord asks you to do, but don't, I say this all the time, don't hurt yourself to keep this thing going. If it's not what you feel God wants you to do, don't you do it, please. I'm only here as a servant. It's all that I am. But please forgive us tomorrow. There can't be an office. I don't want Crystal around me with this, with what I've got. I don't want to give it to her. I really don't. And take it back to her grandbabies. I don't want that to happen. But just pray for us. The Lord will bless us and show us how to do these things, what to do. And God willing, I'll see you Monday night on the radio again. Have a wonderful day and a great weekend. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Bethann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Bethann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.